You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Fear of the Lord by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
11 verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I've been meditating on this scripture, on this phrase. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so, y'all know I have always given you a simple definition of wisdom over the years. That wisdom is the ability to know what to do. And I say this, wisdom is the ability to make decisions today that will positively affect tomorrow. All right? And the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm starting a new series today. This is not an exciting series, at least not today. Okay, I was really, I tried to get you all a little lit and get you jumping and dancing and shouting because I knew you wasn't going to do it during the message. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but really I knew this is not a shouting, dancing message. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I've been meditating on this. Wisdom is the ability to know what to do. And so this is what the Lord will show me. If you fear the Lord, he'll show you what to do. He'll show you how to live your life. When you fear the Lord, it governs your behavior. Fear the Lord at the beginning of the world. Is this right or is that wrong? How about this? You know, when I, years ago, people used to say, is there anything wrong with such and such? Is it, you know, as a new Christian, is there anything wrong with? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I fear the Lord, I can answer that question for myself. Is there anything wrong with going to the club? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is there anything wrong with lying on your taxes? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Some question you'll need to ask anybody, it comes down to how much you fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It gives me instruction about life, what to do, how to do it. And so, starting this series called, simply called from that scripture, The Fear of the Lord. Now, this word fear, the Hebrew word, because the scriptures in the Old Testament originally written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. The Hebrew of the word fear is the word yare. It's spelled Y-A-R-E. Yare. And it means moral reverence and respect. Having moral reverence and respect for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning of making good choices. Beginning to know how to conduct your life. Having moral respect for the Lord will guide your decisions. Fear the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. But that's, if you allow me to see, a positive aspect. There's also another aspect of wisdom. Of fear. And that's somewhat of a negative side, but you need both. The fear of the Lord is also recognizing his power, his might, his ability. It's almost being afraid of him to the degree that I don't want to make him mad. Okay? How many of you know you got to have a certain respect for fire? That's why in the military, they have something that they call friendly fire. A person can be killed by friendly fire. Meaning the person wasn't, it could be somebody in his own company who got shot by his comrade, by somebody in his company. By friendly fire. In other words, he wasn't expecting to get shot by him, but this person carried his weapon carelessly. Or they thought they were shooting the enemy, but they were too careless and they shot one of their own team. Somebody from their own country. Call that friendly fire versus enemy fire. Fire is good in the fireplace. The same fire is bad on the drapes. You got to have respect for that fire. A couple years ago, Me and my boys, we're out on, this is 7 years ago, so they, I think some of them were still at the house then before they graduated college. And we're out on the boat, and one of their friends, he comes to church occasionally, one of their friends, and I got, we were over close by where the people come out, you know, kind of the park there on the lake. And so my boys jumped out of the boat, and they were swimming. And so they all jumped out, and their friend, he jumped out too. When he jumped out, he said, "Help! I don't know how to swim!" I'm like, "Oh my, what you jump out the boat for? Nobody pushed you out the boat. How you gonna jump out the boat in the lake?" And you know, I said, "Oh my!" And so my boys, they ran and got him and pushed him back on the bottom, on the back of the boat. I'm like, "Why would you jump out the boat if you don't know how to swim? You better respect this water. This water can refresh you. It can cool you off. But this water also can drown you. Got to have respect for this water. God's a good God. God can bless you. God can keep you. But God can also allow you to be cursed. God can take his hands off you. God can, instead of shielding you from the devil, allow the devil to touch you. We know that's true when we look at Job. God allowed the devil to do that to Job. There was, I'm jumping ahead of myself. There was a fence, a hedge of protection around him. And the devil told God, "I can't get to him because you got a hedge of protection around him." God can choose to take the hedge of protection from around you. You better respect this God. And that's what the fear of the Lord is. It's having respect and reverence for his awesomeness, for his omnipotence, for how mighty and great he is. But it's also recognizing that God is not to be toyed with. God is not to be played with. And I have a concern today that the church has lost the fear of the Lord. And before I come after y'all, I'm talking about my colleagues starting the pulpit. In ministry, we've lost the fear of the Lord. We've lost that respect for God. We've lost that consciousness to please God. We think we can do anything because look like the folks are still coming. We can live any kind of way because we're still getting good honorariums or the tithes are coming in. I talked about a lot of this with pastors in my workshop on Friday. Samson. Samson had this issue of sleeping with prostitutes. He was the judge, God's judge, who judged over God's people and told God and judged over the administrated and litigated cases and all that and judged on behalf of God, the people. And yet he had this issue with the prostitutes until he met this woman named Samson and Delilah. Okay, remember that song? That maybe help you remember this story. Sorry. Romeo and Juliet, Samson and Delilah. That's coming. Romeo and Juliet, that's from Shakespeare. Samson and Delilah, that's from the Bible. Okay. Comes across this woman named Delilah. She was a prostitute too. Delilah wasn't his first prostitute, but she was the last one. And Samson thought he was getting away with something because he would often be with prostitutes. And then when something happened, he would shake and the Spirit of God would come upon him and he would kill the enemies, the Philistines who came against God's people. One time he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. 1,000 men. And so he was used to look like he was getting away with it. Looked like God didn't care. And Samson lost the fear of the Lord. Because he had made a vow to God in terms of how he would live his life, including in his case as a Nazarite, not to cut his hair. It wasn't about the hair, it was about the obedience to God and this vow he made to God. I mentioned this, and Chandler, Pastor Chandler said, came after, he said, "Dad, I read the whole thing while you was up teaching." He said, while you were teaching, I read the whole, because you know, it ain't that long. I read the whole account. And he pointed this out to me. He said, Samson was a judge for 22 years. Interesting, our church is about to win our 22nd year. He was a judge. He looked at it, he said, Dad, he was the judge for as long as you've been pastoring. He was experienced. This wasn't no young neophyte. This wasn't no young judge who just getting his feet wet, just wet behind the ears. He had been doing this for 22 years, but it came to an end because he lost the fear of God. She wasn't the first prostitute, but she was the last one. And then when he got with this one, he told all his heart. Now he has a relationship, in a relationship with somebody he should never be in relationship with, and sharing all his heart, and she used it against him. He finally tells him, cut my hair off, I lose my strength. And she did it probably right after he fell asleep. She put it on him real good and knocked him out. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. Stay with me. None of the single folks know, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. You should be going, what is he talking about? Right, Sean B? Knocked him out, cut his hair off, and the Bible, and then she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he got up to shake, as he always does. And when he went to shake this time, the Spirit of the Lord didn't come on him no more. He had no power. And they bound him. And they captured him. She wasn't the first one. She was the last one. Can I tell you, you can look like you're getting away with stuff. And it may not happen the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the first year, the second year, the third year. In his case, in the 21st year, but in the 22nd year. I got to be careful how I say this, especially in light. I don't want to say grace runs out. But God is long-suffering. The Bible says this, I think in Hebrew. It said there came a time when God winked at our ignorance. Well, he just let it go. He said, but he ain't winking no more. There comes a time, and please understand right now, I'm talking to experienced Christians. I'm not talking to baby Christians. Sometimes babies, y'all don't even know what's right. There's certain standards that we have as church people, as Christians, or even coming up in a Christian home. There's certain values we have that if we don't live by them, we're being rebellious. It's other people who don't live by them because they don't know them. Rebellion is one thing. Ignorance is another. Paul says this. Paul says, you know, when I used to persecute the church, but God in his grace made me a minister. He said, I wasn't worthy of being a minister. He said, because I injured the church. He said, but I did it ignorantly. There are things you can do out of ignorance and God will let you get away with it. That once you have knowledge, it's no longer ignorance, it's rebellion. And the way of a transgressor who goes against what he knows, the Bible says it's going to be hard for you. I know for sure the standard, even the fact that I can teach this to you, I teach this to you. Now God says to me, you without excuse. Because you know better. God holds us accountable for what we know. Can I tell y'all something? Can I tell y'all something? I do believe there's a higher accountability for folks who go the right direction than those who go to Slippery Rock. Where's Slippery Rock? I just made it up. Hopefully that ain't your church or name. I think there's a higher accountability expectation for God for those of you who sit under this word here in the right direction than those who go down to Sink and Sand Church. Because I'm constantly giving you word, not just feeling, Not just excitement, but word. I almost can't talk. I'm deliberately, my mind is so programmed with the word. Everything I say, I think scripture. But in order to broaden my base and broaden my influence, I got to learn to be able to teach biblical principles without saying the Bible says. But that's how my mind works. Okay? So I did the interview the other day on Fox, Watch Fox 57, and on the panel, and I was saying to myself, I said, don't quote scripture. Talk, get the principle, don't quote scripture. And the good thing, I had my friend, another pastor there, he was giving all the scriptures and all the Jesuses and all that. I said, yeah, you do that. Amen. But my mind is so programmed that when I say something, I think scripture. That's a good thing. But there's some people who don't know scripture and were turned off by scripture. You need to be able to get scriptural truth and get the truth across, the principle across, without saying John said it and Peter said it and John said it. You follow me, okay? So there are those of us who know the word, and you're not ignorant, you're rebellious. Once you know, you're no longer ignorant. And the fear of the Lord is for those who know God's standard, know God's expectations, know what God requires of us. The fear of the Lord is recognizing who he is and all he can do. Fearing the Lord causes us to do what he says and live by his principles. Now, I can't live by his principles if I don't know his principles. I can't do what he says if I don't know what he says. But once I know what he says, once I know his principles, now the fear of the Lord says, now I got to live by that. Some of you heard me talk about an uncle I have who lives here. He's a great man. Great man. If most Christian men were like him, we would have better Christian men. And he don't profess to be saved. And he says, you know, religion is good for those who need it. Okay? So when Bishop Bailey comes to town, that's his brother, I make arrangement for us to have y'all get together before the conference starts. Because he ain't coming. And watch this. It ain't no. If you ask him, is he coming? No. You gonna come? No. Okay. Ain't mean about it. Ain't nasty about it. Now, some folks will tell you they're coming and not come. He ain't gonna do that. He is the epitome of the scripture that says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If he ain't gonna do something, he ain't gonna tell you. You know, I invite him over for Thanksgiving. I said, listen, you invite him over for Thanksgiving. He said, I'll see. When he says he'll see, I'll get a call probably a couple days before Thanksgiving where he'll tell me if he's coming or not coming. He ain't gonna say, yeah, okay, I'll be there. He ain't gonna be there. He don't even say, if I'll be there if I don't have anything else to do. He has nothing to do. He's been retired since 55. He's 81 now. He said, I do nothing I don't want to do. But one thing about him, his yay is yay and his nay is nay. Well, so before Bishop Bailey leaves, we're having breakfast, and we're having breakfast at Cracker Barrel, and my uncle says, you know what, I read somewhere that they said something about 70-80% of these preachers who preach this stuff don't even believe what they preach. He said, I read a statistic that says that. Don't even believe the stuff they preach. Can I tell you, it might be higher. Because how do we preach this and not live it? I don't understand that. And then when the preachers, when we look like we're not walking the fear of the Lord, now we want you to see us just like you. And we say stuff like, well, you know, I'm just a man of flesh and blood just like you. But when I say the Lord told me to tell everybody in here to give you $1,000, I'm expecting you not to see me just like you. I'm expecting you to see me as a man who hears God. See, I can't go in and out of whether I'm a man of God or not. If I'm a man of God, I got a higher standard of living. There's a higher standard of expectation. I'm talking about from God. I have to walk in a higher level of fear of the Lord. The more you know, the more that's required of you. And can I say this? The fear of the Lord is a requirement. Look at Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. It says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee? What does he what? Require. Come on. What's that word? Require. Does require mean like that's what he really wants? What's the Lord what? Require of thee. He requires but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul. Fear is a requirement of God for his people. Respect, honor, his word, caring about what he thinks, living your life every day conscious that I'm supposed to be pleasing God. God requires that of us. Now, look at Proverbs 8:13. Because when you fear the Lord, you love what he loves and you hate what he hates. And by the way, God does not hate people. I don't care what lifestyle that God loves people. God hates sin. He hates sinful lifestyles. And God still can separate that. He loves people. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So he says, whatever God, when I fear the Lord, whatever God likes, I like. Whatever he hates, I hate. So now, when I fear the Lord, his standard and his viewpoint becomes my viewpoint. So, when you fear the Lord, it ain't about how you feel about it. Y'all. Well, God, man, I probably could deal with a wife and a girlfriend and a side chick. Three separate ones. I got three in one. My wife is my wife, my girlfriend, and my side chick, three in one. If you can do that, you stay out of trouble. When you get three separate ones, now we got some issues. Okay? And so you may feel you could juggle that. But God said, let every man have his own wife. So even though you may like that and you can't make a decision between all these fine women, God said, you got to choose one. You don't like that. But the king says, this is what you got to do. So my opinion don't matter. I'm talking about fearing the Lord. Well, you know, I heard a preacher say to me one time, monogamy is not natural. Well, it needs to be supernatural then. Because the Bible says, let every man have his own wife. It says, adulterers and fornicators, God's going to judge. So that doesn't matter if I like that. If I fear the Lord, his standard becomes my standard. His opinion becomes my opinion. His desire becomes my desire. My opinion don't matter. So all this arguing and debating about, well, I don't see why. I don't have to see why. That's what the king wants. That's his standard. Now, when there is no fear of the Lord, there's going to be disrespect toward the Lord. Where there is no fear of the Lord, there'll be disrespect toward the Lord. Now, I told you I got saved at the age of 12. Okay? As a young boy, I got saved. But I grew up in a housing project in Jersey City, and everybody was tough. All the kids was, you know, you had to walk around tough and fighting, you know, act like you're bad and all that kind of stuff. Some of y'all can't relate to that. Us bougie suburban kids, like my kids were raised. You can't relate to that. But you had to be tough. You had to look like you're tough. And so I really wasn't a fighter. So I was a cusser. Because the way I cuss, you just figured I could fight. Anybody cuss like that, you got to be prepared. You don't know me. I will blankety, 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 blank, and then I'll do the blankety, blank to your mama. Somebody talked, he must be, oh man, he talked like that. Okay? So I had to get delivered from cussing. That was the first thing. It's the first thing. Now, I would love to say it happened instantly, but the preacher told me just ask God to forgive you. But can I tell you this, even though I may have cussed as a kid, I never cussed around my mama. Let me go a little further. Even if I cuss, I never cussed around an adult. Because there's a respect you have that I had for my mother, and I was taught to have respect for adults. All adults.
When we have reverential fear of God, we'll do right because it's right. We shouldn't fear God because of punishment, but because we love Him and want to abide by His principles. Dr. Herbert Bailey calls us back to a place of respect and fear of the Lord. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Fear of the Lord.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.